considering the events of the past week or two, was it perhaps premature for you this summer to fly around the state announcing an agreement on this?
Well, David, obviously when we left in the spring, the economic development bill that we passed by a vote of 32-2. It's not like we carried out those discussions in a vacuum and no one was aware of what was going on. Our caucus had asked that we try to pursue an economic development bill because with high unemployment rates, it was a priority. And so we undertook to do what the caucus had asked us to do. And in the interim, since July, I mean, we've had some powerful political entities that have worked very hard to kill the deal. I'm talking about Show Me Institute, the Tea Party, the low-income tax credit developers, certain pro-life organizations, and others. So, I mean, it's a situation where we've been going up against some pretty tough opponents.
You know, I hate to use Illinois as any example besides a financial disaster, but the governor of Illinois today and over the last few days has been sort of showcasing increased trade with China, which leads me to the question, with this focus on austerity and tax credits, are you fearful that other states with either more financial resources or bigger populations might pass Missouri by as far as lowering trade and companies?
Now, you know, I'm not fearful of competing with any other state for business or economic development. I think Missouri has some good tools to attract business and industry. Obviously, there is talk about the Aerotropolis project going to another city. You know, we believe that project, like a lot of the other economic development provisions, hold a lot of promises to create job and economic commerce. So we'd like to see it happen here in Missouri.
Is Aerotropolis in or out of any discussions at this point?
It's still included in discussions. The big issue has been how do we fund the distribution center facilities? And, you know, do we tie them to actual job creation, or do we actually give out tax incentives and state money to owners or corporations that may create jobs, projected jobs? We want to see jobs created, and that's when those companies or individuals would receive some assistance from the state. Well, they're having problems with their chamber buying into it. We've had discussions with members of their leadership, and upwards of a half of their Republican caucus over there does not want to vote on Aerotropolis. So, you know, we passed a good bill, and if we can get things correct on the warehouse provision, Aerotropolis can remain alive.
Does this session end tomorrow, one way or the other?
More than likely.
What scenario would it not?
You know, if there's a possibility that we can come together on these certain provisions, you know, the chance is that we could have a conference on the bill. But all indications that I'd gotten from the leadership in the House that, you know, they made the threat to us that, hey, we're not going to conference. So that's not helpful, and you know, I got to believe that if we can come closer together, that the House would be willing to go to conference.
You know, some people may be surprised by this, but there are actually a lot of companies and individuals that hire people and don't call the state for an incentive. You know, now we always have pursued the economic development legislation in a way where we're recognizing that there are some instances where the state has to participate in some sectors, that we're willing to do that, but under the right circumstances. You know, and that means that we've got to look at programs that we currently have where the state's frankly not getting a lot of bang for our buck. And, you know, I've seen in my district historic preservation efforts that have led to urban renewal. And I'm not saying that I'm not in favor of eliminating those programs, but I think the historic preservation program and the low-income housing tax credit program are overfunded. or oversupported. And if you look at our experience with those programs versus what's occurring in other states, we lead the nation in the utilization of those programs. And I think if we want to provide new incentives, then we're going to have to curb some other areas where, frankly, I think we're wasting state taxpayer dollars.
Senator Dempsey, this is Betsy Bruce in St. Louis. Wondering about how you think the sunset provision would impact banks' willingness to lend to these developers if they don't see this program, as continuing, let's say, if there was some kind of a delay in construction for some reason.
No one has brought that issue to my attention. You know, the concern that I have heard is this feeling that the reason there's a fear of the sunset is because of this belief that one senator will kill a program. And, I hadn't heard of any concern that the sunset's had in relating to someone doing or not doing a project.
If this does not come to final agreement and does not pass and dies, does it take all of the House legislation with it?
I would say at this point, yes. I would say so after yesterday's developments when the Senate learned about the governor and House participating in behind-the-scenes negotiations and working out an agreement. There's just not a lot of enthusiasm among the caucus members to take up those pieces of legislation and pass them.
Isn't that a little childish? Say, well, you know, we're not going to do these things that people need or that we were told people need just because we're ticked off the House.
I'm not saying that we wouldn't ever do them. I'm not saying that we wouldn't do them next session. But the reason why we wanted to come back into special session was to do an economic development bill to put Missourians back to work. And that was the focus. And to have worked so hard for so many weeks and so many months, people's energy levels are the point where they just don't have a desire to work on those other pieces of legislation.
Why should other people be penalized for the inability of you and the governor and the House to get together on these bills?
As I said, Bob, I mean, the possibility exists we take them up in the next session. I don't know that there's anything that will be that detrimental if it doesn't get done during special session. And as I mentioned before, the key and the reason we came back into session was to pass an economic development bill and tax credit reform bill because, as I spoke about earlier, we have over $2 billion in tax credits that are still outstanding. We're redeeming over $500 million of tax credits each year. We have flatlined funded education, for 3 years in a row. We're gonna be faced with tough issues about education funding. That's one of our basic obligations and responsibilities is to fund education. And so those are the keys. We're here to pass an economic development bill is what we're here for.
Last night,
last night you indicated you might do the Facebook bill. Is that off the table?
Bill's in the House.
It's over in the House. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Joe.
I know this is more of interest to the legislators, but the presidential primary thing, if you don't pass it, I mean, arguably you could have your national party come down at you on that.
Well, I mean, there's other states around the country, Florida, Arizona, South Carolina. There's several states all across the country that at this point have not passed that legislation either. We've had discussions this morning with what time that we've had other than talking about the economic development bill and how we move forward, how we might pass the presidential primary bill. So it has been brought up and discussed.
You mean you might still vote on that tomorrow?
I don't know that we'll vote on it tomorrow. I think it's still under consideration.
You outlined a lot of changes you'd like to see in the House proposal there. Is there anything, any change the House made to the Senate bill that you actually support?
I guess my focus has been on trying to correct where we have issues, and there's some good things in the bill, obviously. I mean, there's still the opportunity to save some money. The caps were increased. My focus has been on looking at what the differences are and how we might correct them. I got the bill last night about 6:30 or 7 o'clock and have had caucus and other things, so my time has been limited. I mean, there's good things in the bill, obviously.
There are a number of areas that they where their position was either the same or very close to the Senate position. I think, you know, what everyone's focused on is the differences.
But there's not any particular change that they made that you can cite that say, yeah, we're fine with that.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to work out what we still have to work out.
Senator, how far apart are you, would you say? 10% of the bill, 20%?
Well, I mean, what the elimination of sunsets, what would you look at that? Would you look at that as 1% of the bill? I mean, the sunsets on the historic preservation and low-income tax credit programs are critical to us taking action in the Senate. And I don't know how you look at those as a percentage. I just, from a policy perspective in trying to get a bill through the Senate or pass a bill, they have to be there. When we passed that legislation several years ago, that any new program has a sunset on it. So, and we do that as a process of review. And there are instances that programs, the sunsets have been renewed. And when we talk about killing legislation, the Speaker of the House can kill a bill, a chairman in the House can kill a bill, you know, we file 2,000 bills a year, 10% of those get passed. I mean, so many bills die, but, you know, we always pass a constitution. We always pass a budget, as is required in our constitution, and we deal with many substantive issues every year. And I'm confident that we would be able to work through a review of the historic preservation and low-income tax credit programs as well.
Thank you, everyone.
Paul Kess from Kansas City Business Journal. What's your level of concern about Missouri losing businesses in the Kansas City area to the state of Kansas, especially with the announcement a few days ago of AMC, another big company saying it's going to move over to Kansas? Is there enough in the bill to keep some of these companies on the Missouri side?
Well, I actually lived in Kansas City for 5 years, so I'm well aware of the, you know, how the difference in business climate, whether you're on one side of State Line Road or the other. And, you know, I would much prefer that Kansas City, Missouri, and Overland Park and those communities on the Kansas side, I think it would be a much better philosophy that, you know, where the sum would be greater than the parts, where if they work together, they could increase economic development in the region. I think that's the message that needs to come out of the St. Louis business, the Kansas City business community. It's unfortunate what has happened there, and I think in the case of AMC, you're looking at a situation where Kansas threw $40 million in incentives to bring a business from downtown Kansas City to Leawood, Kansas. And That is bad for the Kansas City metropolitan area, and you continue to have that job poaching on both sides of State Line Road. And I think the business leaders, the community leaders, the political leaders in the Kansas City metropolitan area need to get together and demand more from their leadership as a region. And I think the part of the bill that is in our economic development bill for retention is just, it's a stopgap measure that doesn't get to the root of the problem. But we were willing to support it to try to build a coalition of support for this legislation and recognize what Kansas is doing in trying to attract Missouri companies and have a response.
Thank you.